Hi, friends. My name is Mike Foster, and this is Fun Therapy, a podcast dedicated to the imperfect things in our lives. No talking points, no success stories, just a welcoming of the struggle. And discovering that inside all of us is goodness. Inside all of us is love. Yes, we hurt and we struggle and we have questions. But around here, we cling to this sacred idea that blessed are the cracked, for they shall let the light in. We're going to learn to be our own best friend around here and not our biggest critic. And let me assure you of this fact. You are much more than what you have been led to believe. So let's wake up each morning, wipe the sleep from our eyes, step into our worthiness and say to the world, I'm here, I matter, and I am loved. My name is Mike Foster, and this is Fun Therapy. Well, I am so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you are part of the Fun Therapy family. And one of the things I just want to ask, and I think I mentioned this in almost every podcast, but to please take a moment and share some of your feedback about these episodes and what you're hearing in the podcast, whether that be by rating and reviewing the podcast on iTunes or sharing a tweet or something on Instagram. Just make sure to tag me. I love reading your feedback because we're going to heal and learn and grow and have good things happen here by doing it in community. I do not by any means hold all the answers. I do not know where all this is going. So I really would love to hear from you and just see what things are hitting you, what things are resonating. So just take a moment, review the podcast, rate the podcast, share on Instagram or Twitter and make sure to tag me and let's get a conversation going. I also want to tell you about a new His and Hers workbook that my wife and I, Jennifer Foster, created and launched a few months ago called Five Dates. And it's for dating, engaged, married couples. It doesn't really matter whether you're new to a relationship or you've been together for 25 years. The Five Dates experience is really created to help you connect and build togetherness and connection and intimacy in your relationship. It helps you in a very fun and creative way have important conversations that matter around gratitude and talk styles and how to be present with each other and dreams and having a dream and supporting each other's dreams. And so 5dates.co is the place that you pick that up. We have a couple different bundles, some really great resources there, 5dates.co. And by the way, it's not available anywhere books are sold, only at our website at 5dates.co. Joining me for this Fun Therapy session is my friend, Carrie Garcia. And she's the founder of the Freedom Movement. She's a powerhouse speaker. Wow, this girl, she is a communicator. And she's leading conferences for women around the country. She's a delightful person. She's dedicated to helping women live free and to be known and to be loved. Isn't that wonderful? Her passion to help women flows from her own story. We're going to hear a little bit about that in this session. Her mom struggled with mental health issues and eventually took her life by suicide. And out of that chaos in Carrie's life, Carrie medicated her own pain with drugs and addictive patterns. And so we pick up this session of Fun Therapy with Carrie talking about the tension that she's facing with pursuing her dreams.
I have these big dreams, and part of me wants to stay very practical and, like, you know, like, don't. It shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter how many people. I've seen thousands of people. I've spoken to thousands of people. I've met one-on-one with people, and those one-on-one people, their lives are changing, and it's incredible. But yeah, there is this sense like there's so many more people out there that need help. I get very overwhelmed by the gravity of brokenness. And so I want to get out there. And so yeah, there's a validation of like, I'm doing good work if more people are hearing, if I can be a guide to the masses rather than a guide to the individual. That's kind of sucky, but I think that's true for me.
Why is it sucky? That feels like a really judgmental thing to say about what
you desire.
I don't
know. I just feel like maybe it's supposed to, like, I feel like you should be thankful for the one. You should be thankful and like the being with, sitting with one person. Like, there's such beautiful moments I have with clients that I meet with one-on-one and I just love them. But if, in all honesty, like in my heart, I feel like, no, I'm in addition to that, because I do love doing that. But I was made to speak to more. This message is too important. There's too many people out there. And so I was made to speak to more. So I guess when I say that's sucky, it's because I don't know, Christianity, you're supposed to be humble with the one. And I don't know if I'm humble or not, but I'm not content with just the one. Is that bad?
So you want me to judge something?
Yeah, could you validate that, please?
Yeah, very good. So tell me about the practical part of your heart, because it feels like there maybe is some conflict between letting your heart dream and race to whatever is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, I should care about the one, but I'm being drawn to something grand and mm-hmm. big and more. So there's like that where your heart is leading you. But then there's that little voice of practicality or let's manage this or let's decrease this or bring that back a little bit. Tell me about that inside of you.
Yeah, that's probably a bigger side that I've honestly not really thought about. And I've been in a lot of therapy, Mike. I'm very practical. I was not raised to dream. I think because my mom was so shut down emotionally, like I don't really know who my mom would have been had she had not struggled since she was 13. I don't know. The person I was raised by was who I know, but I don't know who she would be if she was free. I don't know. I tend to think when she was little, she was a dancer and a dreamer and silly, and I didn't know that woman. So I just wasn't raised in a home. And my dad is very practical. He's very, you know, he's very biblically based. And I love that. He's given me such a strong foundation in the word. But there was never, you know, it was like always have a savings, always, you know, take the practical job or take the job that you're going to be able to grow in and make good money to secure your family. And all those things are really good. Like those are all been really honorable. I've had a great, my husband lost his job 2 years ago and because of my practicality, we were able to live for a year without income. So it was good, you know? But I think when it comes to this ministry side, there's two things that play into it. Ministry, you know, if I was a businesswoman in the business world, I can just climb and go and push and do whatever. And it would be seen as, you know, honorable. In Christian community, it's more like, you know, just let Jesus do it. You don't push too hard, like stay humble, whatever God brings and be faithful with that. And I agree with that. But I mean, there's also this like part of me, well, because I think God does give favor to that. And I think God does honor those things. But there's this other part of me that's very driven, you know, I'm very like driven and I want to achieve and do these things, but it's not really looked upon as like, you know, it's not gentle and meek and quiet spirit. That's for sure. But I've kind of let that die because I tried to be her and that was not working. And there's the side of my, you know, that I've been taught from my dad is just, you just take what comes and you do the best you can with it. But dream was never really like, that's not really anything I ever saw. So when my dreams are really big, and I even see some of those dreams coming to fruition, I start to think like, oh, this is probably the best it's going to get. And I just like, don't get too excited or don't dream too big. Or what happens if it does come true? Then what? You know, then you have to deal with all the stuff that comes with that. And so I kind of self-sabotage sometimes of just don't dream too
big. Talk to me about the self-sabotage. How do you... So your heart rushes or your mind or your vision rushes to this really beautiful place mm-hmm. of helping lots of people. Mm-hmm. And then you know, practical carry steps in, mm-hmm. or you hear maybe a voice that says, well, no, we you know, meek and mild, or whatever it is, what do you do? Or like, what kind of things do you do that step you back from that?
That will never happen to me. That's what I think.
So that's the message you take. That's not for me.
That's probably not for me. Don't get your hopes up. Like, don't be too excited. Stay very practical. Do what's in front of you and be thankful for what's in front of you. And really, it's not comparison. It's really within myself. Like, I'm so champion what other people are doing, and I don't feel like I need to be that. I just feel like, yeah, don't get too excited. Like, the reality is what you're wanting to do is for the 1%, and you're not the 1%.
So Kerry says, I wasn't raised to dream. I was raised to be practical. Wow. Kerry shares about watching her mom fade away into her mental health struggle, and then how her dad was just a model of being practical. Take what you can get, do the best you can, but don't dream too big. As I listened to Kerry, I could feel her struggle. As she wrestled with this question, am I worthy and capable pursuing my dreams? For Kerry, and perhaps even you, the idea of following your dreams, of fanning that flame that burns inside your heart, was never really modeled for you. No one encouraged you or helped you, or maybe the dream has been crushed by critics, and maybe you've been told to be practical and pragmatic. Or maybe for some of us, maybe we're standing in our own way. This happens a lot. It's my own limiting beliefs that keep me small. My insecurities keep me from trying something big and beautiful and fulfilling. So here is Kerry's dilemma. She was created and designed perfectly for her dreams. And yet she goes back to the program, the script, the lessons learned early on in her life, and she retreats back to living small, living unworthy, downsizing, living not to be seen too much. These beliefs, these internal scripts, are just a form of self-sabotage that must be confronted.
There are weeks that are really hard for me, you know, and so I have to talk about those and be honest about those so that I can keep going.
Can you tell me about one of those weeks? Like, what does that look like? Or has there been a week recently where...
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, you know, just I feel really inadequate and really ill-equipped to do what's in front of me. I keep mentioning this book, it's because I'm doing it, but I've never written a book. I don't have access to all the people that tell you what goes into a book or how to design pages of a book. You know, so all of these things get really overwhelming, but I have this material that means so much to me. And yet everything I do, I don't have a big backing. I'm not this big platform speaker, you know? I don't do that. And I mean, I do speak and I do have platforms I get to speak on, but I don't. So I look at all that. And so a couple of weeks ago, I just felt really like, I feel so small and everything that I'm doing is perceived as like big. And I'm like, I'm not big. Like, I don't even know what I'm doing half the time. I just keep going, compelled for the Sallys and the whatevers in my life, you know, the women that sit in there that are going to hear all these speakers and are going to read all these books about doing all these great things. And I feel like so many of them are just alone, you know, and they're just super struggling. And I feel like I want to be their voice. I want them to know that there's hope and healing today. Like, you don't have to wait till the heavens to get better. And you don't have to charge today with your purpose and your calling. Today can just be a hard day and Jesus can meet you in that. There are steps to getting better and there is hope. So I feel really compelled to do that. And so a few weeks ago, it just felt really overwhelming because I feel really small. And I feel like I have these really big dreams and not, you don't have the money, you don't have the backing and all that stuff. But I get up the next day and I'm like, this message is too important. It's just too important. It's important for my daughter. It's important for my boys. It's important for the men and women that sit in front of me and listen to me. It's too important for me to just not keep going. So I keep going.
So who taught you to be small?
Probably my family, probably my parents. I don't know if they taught it directly. I just think I was an island. So growing up, you know, so that just feels small. I think that just feels like not important. You know, my mom, I wasn't important enough to live for, you know, I feel like that's something I've had to work through for many years, you know, I'm better now with that, but that feels small. It feels small. I mean, I felt really important to my dad. But even later on, after, you know, my parents divorced and stuff, I felt, even though I'm super happy, like, for what is going on in his life, I think I felt all of a sudden like he got a new family. And I've been incorporated into that, and they love me, and they're wonderful. But I think I felt easily put to the side. Like, it was too easy to just kind of put me to the side. So it's like, if the people that love you the most, you know, you're not like the most important to them, then that feels small, you know? So knew I was going to cry.
Tell me what it's like to be on the island, the small island.
Some parts that I like about it. but it's the one, like, I mean, it's so funny because if anybody, maybe there's two people that will listen to this that actually know who I am, but they would say, you always talk about not being on an island. And I do, because it's so dangerous. And so it's not how we were created. It's not a woman thing. It's not a man thing. It's a human thing, is connection, you know? And so for me, I'm an extrovert, but pretty introverted in the past, you know, few years because of constantly giving out. And so what I've noticed in the past couple years is that I don't let a lot of people into the really close part of me. And I think some of that's just wisdom. And I think some of that's protection. If you get in, everyone likes me on the front end, but if you get in to know who I really am, you won't really like it.
Is that something you believe, or is something that is true?
I think it's something that I believe. I don't think it's true, but it feels true because I feel like the people that are closest to me, besides my husband, that are really close to me, I don't know if they like really like love being around me. This is really harsh. But I don't know if I'm, I think I'm a lot. Like, I just think I'm a lot when you get really close to me. And so, I don't know. I think it has to do with probably just, you know, issues with my parents and stuff. I think it just always kind of comes down to that. Like, am I important to the people that I'm supposed to be important to? You know, that's just kind of, and if I can't be important to them, then how will I be important anywhere else?
Am I important to the people that I'm supposed to be important to? That's the question. Do I feel loved by the people that are supposed to love me? When we are unclear on the answers to these questions, it creates this instability in our lives. Instead of a foundation of love and security and strength, we build our lives on this foundation of instability and uncertainty and fear. And then we're always doing this mental math inside of our heads, wondering if the foundation that we're building our lives on is strong enough to hold our dreams, to support the weight of our biggest desires. We ask that question all the time. Can I really do this? And that's what happens when the early foundations of our lives are not strong. And honestly, friends, this is why we must build our lives on love, the greatest foundation, knowing we are valued no matter what. Because if love is not our foundation, if we don't believe we are worthy of our dreams and the desires of our hearts and to live a life that we choose, if the fear of rejection calls the shots, then as we make choices for our lives, we wonder if today is the day the foundation breaks and gives away, and we are left exposed, and everything that we've been working for, everything that we love, everything that we desired, just crumbles before us.
I think it's really hard to ignore me. So even when I'm on an island, I'm like yelling on the island and people are kind of looking over like, oh, there's that Carrie again. I've never been like quiet. And I feel like I'm very accepted. Like I feel very accepted from my parents and, you know, my stepmom and family. I just don't know if I'm necessarily wanted all the time. So it's like, and so I don't know, like those are two things that I kind of wrestle with. Like I'm accepted and I'm loved, but do you really like want me to be around?
Okay. So that's so good. Talk to me about what wanted means.
Yeah. I think that's more of like a desire to like, hey, I want to spend time with you. Hey, I want to be with you. Hey, I want, cause everybody wants to spend time with me when they know me from, I'm not everybody, but a lot of people seem to want to spend time with me when they know me from the stage or they know me, you know, they want to get my insight or whatever. But, you know, in that they kind of accept me, but the people that really know me, like, do they really want to actually spend time with me? Do I have friendships that outside of what I do, like, do they want to spend time with me? Do they want to call? Do they want to ask how I'm doing? Do they really want to know? I don't know. I don't know. I think there are some, you know, my husband.
So what does wanted look like for you? What does a friend or what does a relationship or what does a parent do for you to know that you're wanted?
See, and this is where I'm just like, well, that's needy.
Also feels like judgment, but go ahead. Yeah.
Wanted feels like when you go and do things, I'm a priority or to call, or, you know, wanted feels like I want to take time out of my busy schedule to see you. But then it's like, well, then I need to do that too. So I feel like, you know, I can say all those things, but I need to do that too. So I don't know. But that's what I would say wanted would be, is that when you think of doing things, or you think of like, man, I'd really like to spend time with her, you would pick up the phone and you would call or you would hang out or whatever. So, I mean, that's probably what wanted would look like. And, but without wanting anything in return, like you're not wanting to spend time with me because you want advice from me or you want a piece of me. You just genuinely like love me and want to spend time with me,
and
you know?
Enjoy me.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind, so that would be adult Carrie's definition of wanted. Tell me about what little girl Carrie's definition of wanted would be.
That's so hard. I think like notice that I'm really hurting. Notice that we're falling apart. Notice that I'm on drugs. Notice me. But not the loud me and the I mean, I was super disrespectful and just crazy. But underneath all that was a lot. There was a lot of hurt there, you know? So notice, like, notice that I'm hurting and ask and sit and talk with me about that, you know? We just didn't. We didn't talk about all the pain that was in the house. We didn't talk about that. We just, I don't know what we did. We just kind of kept going. But my mom was upstairs in a room and my dad was gone doing ministry, and my sister had a learning disability, and so she was kind of off doing her thing, and I was on drugs from the time I was 13, you know, so, but nobody was like really noticing me.
Mm-hmm. It's like you're invisible.
Yeah. My mom used to say that when you get older, don't get older, Carrie, because you'll walk down the streets and no one will see you. You'll be invisible. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of made my whole life like, I don't want to be invisible. You know, I want to be seen. I think we all want to be seen, you know, but now I want to help others be seen too. Like, we're all in this together and you're so important. I want to hear how you're doing, you know, in a stadium, but I do. That's why I stand at the end and talk to every last person. It's so important to me. They're people, you know, I want to give what I didn't have. I want to be who I didn't receive, you know, that's what I want.
It's interesting in the sense of like that word notice, and maybe I almost want to ask you like, is that, it feels like step one to me is little girl Carrie, like to be noticed is certainly a smaller request than maybe a larger request that sits behind that word.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I guess when you're noticed, you're loved. So I think, I mean, I knew that they loved me, but love feels some kind of way. You know, there's action behind that. And that, I will say that I know the catalyst to knowing God's love was really knowing my father's love. Like when there's so much grace extended to me and so much help offered at the, you know, when I really wanted to get better and get off drugs and stuff like that. And I remember my dad standing in front of the door when I would try to run away, and he's like, I won't let you leave. Like, he never gave up on me. So I knew that he loved me. But I mean, my mom just, she couldn't give what she didn't have.
I am guessing that you can relate with Carrie when she shares that there's a difference between being loved and being wanted. Maybe sometimes being loved by someone, a friend, a parent, a partner, feels like it's their obligation. People are supposed to love you, right? It's sort of a requirement, but maybe the bigger question is, but do they want you? It feels different, doesn't it? Being loved and wanted. Wanted means I want to spend time with you. I want you close to me. I want to listen to your dreams and your fears. I want to hear everything you're feeling right now about your broken heart. You're not a hassle, too much, or a bother, or too needy. I love you, and I want you. For Carrie, and possibly for you right now, being wanted means that you see my pain. For Carrie, she just wanted people to know, and her parents to know, and people around her to know that she was hurting. Wanted means that you help me with what I'm feeling. I doesn't know what to do with losing her mom and the confusion and the loss and the pain that she's feeling in this house, and love me enough to talk about those things too. One of the things that I teach in my workshop is that we love people best when we hold space for them. To let them talk about their fears and their hurts. Love is telling someone, I want to listen. I want you to show me your heart and your fears and confusion. And now Carrie and I close this session by talking about what is needed for her to find joy in creating and writing and taking the risk to put something into the world.
I have to let it go. Like, go into the world and let it go. And just go, okay, like, I was obedient, and you're gonna give favor to that. And whatever looks like, it looks like. But I wanna be proud of myself for doing it. You know, I wanna be, instead of being like negative or beating myself up, like, it's not that good or what people, I actually just wanna sit in the idea, like, I wrote something. I never in my wildest dreams would have ever thought I would be on, like, here. I go on a stage and I'm like, how did they even find me? Like, I just, there's like a cool part of that. Like, wow, like, I am not the girl with the story that would be speaking normally on a stage. I lived under a bridge. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not your token, like, bring her to the tea, women's tea. And yet God is opening doors, and like, it's between him and I. There's this like really cool redemptive story that the world doesn't even know about, but God and I know about it. And he's just like, yeah, I'm choosing you. Like, isn't it wild? Like, I just used like the most misfit people to change the world. Mm. And I just love that. I just like, I can't believe he's picking me to even do what I get to do already. So I just want to be joyful. Like, I did it. I wrote something. I did it. And whether you like it or not, whatever, like, yeah. I did it. I'm proud of myself because statistically, I should not even be sitting here with you, you know. Statistically, this story should look a lot different. But God rescued me, and it's like, I think I'm his favorite. I think I'm his favorite.
Well, Carrie, you are his favorite. And friends, so are you. Wow. Thank you to my friend, Carrie Garcia, founder of the Freedom Movement. She's an overcomer and soon to be author. Thank you for sharing with all of us today. If you want to connect with Carrie, I want to encourage you to go to her website, wearefreedommovement.org, wearefreedommovement.org. And I want you to, if you can, make sure to check out when Carrie is coming to your city. With her Something New tour. She's touring with Hosanna Poetry, and that's a dynamic duo right there. And these nights, geared specifically for women, are incredible. They're just this injection of joy and belief. And as I was saying earlier at the beginning of the episode, Carrie is a powerhouse speaker. She's amazing. And I want to make sure you check her out if she's anywhere near you. Also, I want to say thanks for being here. And if you're enjoying the Fun Therapy podcast, I'd love for you to subscribe, leave a review or rating on iTunes. Keep telling your friends. We have some great episodes coming up. And also, if you want to connect with me, follow me at MikeFoster2000 on Instagram. That's MikeFoster2000 on Instagram. It kind of sounds like a robot's name, but it's me. And just love to hear from you and love to connect. I'm actually pretty good at responding to people on Instagram. So you can also hop on over to my websites at mikefoster.tv or secondchance.org. I want to say thanks to the amazing Ryan Sleeping at Last for providing the music for this episode, sleepingatlast.com. Make sure to stream his music on Spotify and iTunes or buy his music wherever you can buy music. And also want to say thanks to the Relevant Podcast Network. Some great people over there who help produce this show and make this show wonderful. For more shows from the Relevant Podcast Network, make sure to check out relevantmagazine.com/podcasts. Thanks again for listening. I'm so glad we get to be friends. I'm so glad that we get to do this together. And remember, no matter what has happened in your story, that your setbacks can become your superpowers, and honesty is always the best policy. We'll see you next time on the Fun Therapy Podcast.
Relevant Podcast Network.